This is TBI, Talking Brain Injury, from Brain Injury Alliance, Colorado. I'm your host, Phil, a four-time recipient of brain injuries I don't even remember, plus a bunch I kind of do remember. Today, for the first time, I welcome a pair of returning guests to the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks for having us.
You'll remember Jules from July 2022. Jules was, and still is, recovering from dozens of damaging ECT sessions, electroconvulsive therapy.
Every day is filled with moments of joy and moments of peace. And I just have this passion that I've never had before.
And you'll remember Adam from August 2023. He has lived with brain injury since childhood, when a tumor disrupted his life and inspired him to become a writer.
When you paint a picture, or when you write a poem, or when you write a story, or when you do anything else that's creative, you can pour all your energies, including the negative stuff, into what you're creating, and it can turn very positive.
Jules and Adam, they're here to celebrate their recent successes and even work with each other through recent setbacks. It proves that recovery, it's never finished. It's fluid. But like Jules tells me,
I just did it. I just jumped in. It's kind of how I'm living my life these days. I just jump right in.
Before talking to Jules and Adam, coming up soon are two big summer events for BIAC. First up is the Kathleen's Cause Golf Tournament in honor of Kathleen Schmidt, a BIAC member who fought for years before succumbing to brain injury complications. Kathleen's Cause, it's happening May 21st at Arrowhead Golf Course in Littleton. You can find that registration link in the description for this month's podcast. After that, it's a BIAC favorite, the Pikes Peak Challenge, September 7th. Go summit a 14er, hike to a historic camp, or finish a town running course in Manitou Springs. Find that link in the description. And now, let's catch up with Jules and Adam. Welcome back. It's Phil Lindemann with the BIAC Podcast, TBI Talking Brain Injury, and for the first time ever, I've got some return guests. I've got two of my favorites. I got Jules and Adam with me. Jules and Adam, great to have you here over Zoom.
You too, Phil. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Of course. And it's fun to reconnect with some folks that I've had on before. Like Jules, you and I know each other like in person. We've met a couple times down at BIAC events. Adam, we still haven't met in person before, but we got that shared connection through writing. And Adam, let's start with you. You got some big news about your writing projects. Tell me what's happening with that.
So I haven't been published. Well, I've been published, but I haven't been published like my novel that I've been working on. But I have finished the manuscript for my novel, which is a huge thing. But I'm working on getting an agent, you know, getting a literary agent, and then the agent will help me get to a publisher. So that's the current endeavor. I also have some non-writing news that's kind of heavy, but you know, my brain tumor that I had first when I was 9 years old and again when I was 16 has come back. And so I have a brain tumor again.
Oh, Adam, I'm sorry to hear. When did you learn this?
Just a number of, like 2-3 months ago or something like that. It's tiny right now. There's been no growth for the last few months, and that's a positive thing. Just, I didn't want to focus on that. I just wanted to make sure you were aware of what was going on. So, yeah.
I'm so sorry to hear. I know that, like you said, it's something you've lived with your entire life, and seeing it come back. But we can talk about that in a sec. Let's talk about that manuscript, you know, celebrate the, it's yeah. Incredible work. I mean, it's like running a marathon and then doing another one right on top of it. I mean, writing projects are no joke.
Yeah. So I started the project like when I was 14, and I'm 41 now, which means that I've been working on it for 26 years, which is kind of crazy to think about. It's a bit much, but I've been, you know, eager to get it done, but I was eager to get it done about 20 years ago. So a lot has happened, a lot of struggle, and I think. In perspective, if I hadn't had the struggles that I've had, I wouldn't have been able to write it in the first place. So I think it was a good, you know, the right thing that it happened the way it happened. But anyway, yeah.
Now remind me again, this manuscript in a nutshell, what's the story? What's it about?
In one sentence, a teenage orphan, forgetting everything, battles a sorceress with half his heart to save the world he once created.
I like it. That's that back of the copy book reading that you come across that at a bookstore, and yeah, you want to read it.
That's the first sentence on the back of the book. Yeah.
Good stuff, man. I love it. So like you said, 26 years in the making, finally made this manuscript happen. I guess, what was the toughest part of, you know, actually finishing it? You know, what was the last bit that you wrote? Because, you know, so many people think you write a book from start to finish. That's not really how it works.
I wish I could say I wrote it from start to finish. That would have been easier, I think. the hardest part at the end of it was just finishing it, you know, was just not quitting. You know, I mean, I'm not one to quit, but at the same time, when you've been working on something that long, it's like after a while you get to a point where you're just like, why am I still doing this? You know, and so it can be a little challenging to keep going and persevere and finish the project, you know, and I'd say that'd be the hardest thing.
Cool. Well, and now the work continues, man. Now you got that marketing work to go. Like you said, finding an agent and finding a publisher, and it all reminds me of a gentleman that I helped edit his manuscript, somebody who lives up here in my neck of the woods. He wrote a book, tracked me down, and said, hey, you know, I need somebody's help to actually fine-tune this thing, get it where it needs to be so I can sell it. And it was fun. It was my first time ever helping somebody edit a full-length novel. And so it's a blast because he just got a book deal. And his book...
Oh, that's awesome.
His book is now in his hands. It just showed up, you know, a couple days ago, and he's like, I want to take you out to dinner. I want to tell you some thanks for helping me actually get this thing across the finish line. And like you, Adam, I think he spent 15 years on it. So it was just a project that took forever. But now he's got a real manuscript plus a publisher who's willing to put some, like, you know, some marketing dollars behind it. You know, like you said, shows what perseverance can do with something like this. 26 years, 2 years, doesn't matter. When a book is finished, man, there's no feeling like that.
Yeah, for sure. And when I get the actual finished product in my hands, I'm going to be like, I'm probably going to have like some kind of emotional upheaval, or like I might have euphoria for like a couple days or something. It's just like, oh!
Hopefully it all comes to a head at the book release party, man. You know, when everybody that you love is around you celebrating that big win.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Jules, you've got some big news too. Well, just big things have been happening for you. Since we last talked, it's been over a year since you were on the podcast. 2 years since you were on the podcast. Time flies.
I came on to talk about how great things are going, and now I feel like my bubble was burst a little. I feel bad now.
It's just kind of how this community rolls, though. Like, Adam, I mean, you've been dealing with this your whole life. Sometimes setbacks occur, but you're still trying to keep that positive mindset around it, yeah?
Yeah, I could tell you, when we're into this thing a little bit further, I can tell you how I keep a positive mindset. So we're good, Jules. We're good.
All right. So, yes, last time we met was May of 2022. And in the last 2 years, I'm happier. Life is still incredibly challenging, but I'm happier than I've ever been, even though, you know, once again, every day, sometimes it feels like every hour is a challenge, but I have every day is filled with moments of joy and moments of peace. And I just have this passion that I've never had before. And so I don't know, I'm in a really good place right now.
I love to hear it, Jules. And for folks that, you know, maybe had missed you when you first were on the podcast, remind us your experience with TBI.
So over 19 months, I had 68 bilateral ECT procedures. And on top of that, I also have Parkinson's. And they do not play well together. So that was November 2017 through August 2019.
Wow. Yeah, electroconvulsive therapy that just, well, like you said, did not play nice with what you had going on already.
Diagnosed with major neurocognitive disorder after, which is essentially you're it's kind of like being told that you are in the early stages of dementia. So
wow.
definitely not something you want to hear, but going back 4 years, I found an old workbook and my self-esteem was like 1 out of 10, it was a 1, and my depression was a 9.5, and I didn't have a single friend. I'd spent 3 years at home. I felt like just a worthless human who wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my daughter. And then when we met 2 years ago, I had been with BIAC for about a year, and I reconnected with the meditation center I used to attend, and I made a lot of friends, and my life had dramatically improved. And then in the 2 years since, it's just, I don't know, it's just, I'm in such a good place right now. I really am.
And you're like, really, yeah, you're just getting really involved with BX stuff too. Cause like right now we're on Zoom and I can see your beautiful background that you use for the meditation workshops. I mean, Adam and I are both zen and out, just hanging out with you on Zoom right now.
Yeah. So I teach meditation, a Zoom class at BX, possibly in the future in person at Valor, but we'll see how that goes. I will plug it if anyone's interested. It is 10:30 to 11:15 every Wednesday. Mm. And it's been really successful. I have about 20 people. Of course, they don't attend every week, but I have 10 to 15 people who come back every week. And every class I begin, and I think this is the week that they're gonna be like, oh, she's a hack. She's horrible. I can't stand her. Why am I doing this? And then at the end of class, you're like, that was amazing. And it's just exhilarating. You go from starting 45 minutes before being petrified to this exhilarating feeling.
That is so cool. Had you ever taught any classes like this before?
Well, I teach 5 to 12-year-olds. A meditation class, mm-hmm. kind of like Buddhist Sunday school, which is very, very different. Other than that, no, I've taken essentially almost every class BIAC offers. And I take quite a few classes with Maria Martinez out of Pueblo. So I've taken a lot of classes. I attend a lot of support groups. But no, this is my first time leading a class.
But so cool. All right. So similar question to like what I had for Adam. What was the hardest thing about going from taking class to teaching class? You know, what was the hump you had to get over to make that jump?
You know, I don't know. I just did it. I just jumped in. It's kind of how I'm living my life these days. I just jump right in.
All right. Sometimes you just got to do it, right?
Yeah. I mean, as far as BIAC goes, I will be, I don't want to say picking up, but connecting with my fifth mentee, our peer, in May. So I love the peer mentorship program.
Yeah, you've been involved with that since joining BIAC, right?
Well, 2 years ago. So when we had this podcast, I had just started with my first peer. And now 4 peers in, it's been really life-changing, I think, for me and my peers.
I couldn't agree more. After being involved with the peer mentorship program, I learned just as much from my peers as I hope they learn from me. And every single story, every single experience is so different. And yet I still love finding all the connections that we all share. You know, the fact that community goes so far and, you know, having support systems, no matter where you find them, is Well, it's critical. It's critical for recovery and critical for maintaining it too over a long time, right?
Oh yeah. And like you said, I mean, every peer I've had could not be more different, but they're all amazing. And they've all started out really not knowing much about brain injury or knowing other brain injury survivors. And I think that, like you said, community is huge, and also just, you know, learning about brain injuries is really important.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, having the words to explain what's actually going on, it can really help bring about a sense of, you know, I think comfort and also resiliency. You know, just being like, all right, I know what's going on now. Let's just keep on keeping on.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be around people who understand what you're going through. And you don't have to feel self-conscious about, you know, I don't know if symptoms is the right word, but you can just truly be yourself and know that they totally get it. There's no judgment involved. And you can be really vulnerable. And that helps you to be vulnerable in other areas of your life.
Yeah, agreed. So I need a taste of your meditation class. Now, I'm not giving anybody any freebies out there, but like, well, you know, kind of, what did you do this most recent Wednesday?
So, you know, we worked on a heart-centered meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So relaxation meditation, and then really feeling your heart and bringing up maybe things that make you feel love and having, you know, these, okay, bringing up situations and people that make you feel love. And then you kind of drop the storyline and you just feel it. And it kind of, it helps you, you know, to be able to feel these things in your body. And I don't know. It was a great meditation. Very relaxing.
Great. I love it. You know, one thing that I personally do is, again, living in the mountains of Colorado, we are in the thick of ski season, which means traffic, snow, more traffic, even more traffic. And then on top of that, there's another snowstorm. So like just trying to get from my house to work sometimes can take way longer than I ever wanted to. And, I've just been doing lots of breathing exercises. You know, when I start to feel myself getting aggravated with all the traffic and all the snow and all the traffic, I just do like, you know, the eight in, eight out, eight in, pause, eight out, pause, eight in, out, pause. And I feel my heart itself slowing down and my aggravation just kind of disappearing. It also helps to turn off, you know, the Metallica or whatever I've been listening to at the moment. It helps to turn off the metal. And maybe just, yes. You know, open the window and listen to the, you know, the wind outside instead or something. But just those simple exercises go so far for me on a, like, you know, minute to minute basis when I feel like things are just beyond my control.
Yeah. So that if anyone wants to look that technique up, it's called square breathing or box breathing. But I also practice that in traffic and in lines because I do not like being in a line.
Grocery store lines. Exactly.
Oh, Lord, any anything. Kind of line.
Oh, I agree. I agree. Adam, do you have any tips that you found that help you, you know, with, you know, anything in day-to-day life, stuff that's helped you find, you know, reset or relax?
Well, I do have some meditation stuff. I take I have a phone call weekly with my hypnotherapist, and we do a kind of like this hypnotherapy / relaxation / meditation thing that works. But if you don't have access to anything like that, something that helps me pretty much with any area of life is just stellar life moments and writing them out. I've noticed that as I do those, I start to relax because it's like it helps pour the good stuff in while all the hard stuff kind of melts away a little bit the more I do them. Jules, I don't think you, have you ever heard of Stellar Life Moments, making a list?
I have not.
It's basically, I mean, the name speaks for itself, but it's like, I've been doing it for 4 years, 5 years or something, ever since I started hypnotherapy. And I have a list that's like 23, 24 pages long of item after item, things that have happened in my life that were powerful, happy, uplifting, just anything like that, you know? It's writing it is hugely helpful. Reading it again, you know, is hugely helpful. It takes all the negative stuff that makes you tense in the first place and kind of soothes it away, you know? So I don't know. I don't know if that's what you're looking for, Zach. Phil.
No, that's exactly what I was thinking of. Well, and now I got a question for you as the writer. Have any of those Stellar Life Moments become short stories, or have you ever fictionalized any of them?
Not fictionalized. To me, I'd rather not. I mean, fiction is fiction and life is life, right? And so, for an example, I've got, I mean, if you want to hear a Stellar Life Moment, if that helps.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd love to.
So obviously I can choose any of them, something that Stellar Life Moments. Hold on one second. I'm going to find it.
Yeah, of course. No rush.
Okay. So like the first one that's on my list, at least on my phone list, I have the printed up one where the phone list says, this is in high school. I was walking around on the bottom floor of my high school after school was done. I was just kind of wandering, 'cause that's what I do sometimes, you know, kind of wander. So I heard this most beautiful haunting music from down the music hall. And I mean, I play trumpet, and so I was in the jazz band, so I was familiar with that area of the school. So I walked to the band room, walk in, and saw a beautiful girl playing the piano. I asked her what the song was. She said, it's called Moonlight Sonata, you know? I never heard it before up to that point. And so I remember even now that her fingers were dirty, which probably sounds funny, but for some reason it put me at ease, you know? And I sat down with her, and she taught me a few measures worth. And then I went to a music store sometime later and purchased the piano music for Moonlight Sonata. I still am trying to learn it all these years later because I'm not a piano player, but I've learned most of the first movement or the first thing. So it's just Stellar Life Moment because it just touched me in a deep way, you know? So there's one example of it.
I love it. And still to this day, it sticks with you because, like you said, you're trying to still learn it yourself on piano. Very cool. You know, actually, Jules, if you don't mind doing this, I think this is a fun exercise to go through, even just right now. I'll go first if you want some time to think about a Stellar Life Moment, but I can think of one that just happened just yesterday. Again, it's ski season up here, and that's where I find my happy place. Snowboarding is definitely what I do to get away from it all and recenter and, you know, just reconnect with what I love doing. And it was a powder day, which was great. It was my favorite mountain, Beaver Creek, which was even better. Plus, it was with some of my favorite people to rip around with. And that's, like, you know, that it was the perfect trifecta of good for a day. And the day ended up being exactly what I wanted it to be. And our last run of the day, we dipped over into some trees that I haven't been in all season. Neither had anyone else. So we had fresh tracks at 2:30 in the afternoon, which never happens. I was able to find some little features. Like, I love riding on logs. There was a log that I love that nobody had touched all season. So I was able to get the first tracks on that. And then on our way back down to the base of the mountain, a snow cat had already been out and had groomed fresh corduroy over all the bumps that people had made throughout the day. So we didn't even have to try hard to get back down to the bottom of the mountain. It was fresh, buttery, just wild corduroy. All these things came together at 2:30 in the afternoon on a Sunday when I was not expecting anything to happen good after, you know, it had been so beat up all day. And it's just moments like that that remind me, you know, what it is I love about this sport so much, even though it's the sport that has led me to be part of BIAC. The whole reason I'm here is because I ran into a tree doing about 40 miles an hour and nailed my head, broke an arm, broke a leg 10 years ago. People always ask me, you still snowboard after that? Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a difference between a drug and a medicine. For some people, snowboarding is a drug. It's something that you do for fun. For me, it's my medicine. It's what I got to do to stay even. And yesterday was one of those days where I re-upped my meds and I'm feeling great today.
That's awesome, Phil.
Yeah, so like you with snowboarding, I have fallen in love with hiking and photography, landscape photography. So they go hand in hand. And on Friday, a friend and myself went up to Colorado Springs to visit my first mentee, and it was the warmest day so far. This winter, we're still in winter, and it just felt, it was like the temperature that you don't feel, which is the best, right? And it was just such a beautiful hike. Colorado Springs is starting to turn a little green, and we saw bighorn sheep, and we just observed them for probably, I don't know, one or at least an hour. And within that hour, it was amazing to watch them migrate from the sun, or from the shade to the sun. Some of them were climbing up mountains, and we saw them just run and like hurtle across the fence. It was amazing. But yeah, for me, I wake up every morning and I'm like, I hike spring through fall, 2 to 4 hours a day, sunrise, sunset. In the winter, an hour, maybe two, an hour or two a day. And I love my of taking photographs and just capturing. Like I can't, obviously, you cannot come anywhere close to capturing the beauty, especially in Colorado. But I capture what I can, which helps with my memory as well. Helps with the creativity. And yeah, I love it. If I can't go out for the day and go hiking, it's a bad day. It's never a bad day anymore, but it is a bad day. And I've become very adventurous. I hike by myself. I just have my bag in my car. And if I go to a doctor or no matter where I'm at, I'm like, get on my phone, nearest hiking trail. And I hike all over, so it never gets boring.
Oh, that's...
And it's not like I did not injure myself hiking, but I do fall probably 1 in 4 hikes. I get lost quite a bit, but it's still 100% worth it.
Sometimes I feel like, you know, the unknown makes it even more attractive, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it, too. Come summertime, I love to hike also. But, you know, I guess I would say wintertime, snowboarding's my hiking. It's what I got to do to get out. But I think the coolest thing is that both of you, like so many people I've met at BIAC, creative outlets are the ways that, you know, you recenter and, you know, find that joy in life all over again. Adam writing, Jules doing your photography, all this stuff is... so vital, I think.
Yeah, I am in no way a good writer like Adam, but I take a creative writing class with Maria, and it has been so therapeutic. It's definitely, I do support groups, but I've gotten far more out of that creative writing class than I've gotten out of any support group I've ever been in.
All right.
And it's not just great for me, but just sharing each other's stories.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I totally get that. It's like it enables you, at least I found it enables us to like connect on deeper levels than you normally would, because when you write, you're letting out what's inside a lot more freely, I think, than otherwise. And so that can be really helpful as far as like communicating outside of yourself at the same time. Just thought.
Yeah. You see people in a way you've never seen them before. And I think photography is the same way. People see the world the way I see the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that. And Adam, I mean, you know, as a writer myself, I find writing is my first language. I'm not too bad at talking, but I stumble over words and stuff. And I just find writing is my first language. Putting something on paper comes out easier and I think more eloquently than when I speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely true for me. I'm not a speaker much, but I am a writer. So.
Yeah, which sometimes just boggles my mind. I'm like, if I can do it on paper, why can't I just do it when I'm talking? But I don't know, right? That answer is still eluded me.
Elusive.
Yeah, exactly. See, we're on the same page there. Elusive, for sure. Well, Adam, since you mentioned it earlier, I got to get back to... Well, the ways that you find solace or the ways that you deal with the resurgence of your tumor with this news that comes back to you.
Something that I've not had before that I think I have more of now is just the ability to cope. And I've learned coping strategies like writing, like, I mean, it's not just writing in general, it's the stellar life moments. It's also creating something out of the pain. Like in Jules, I'm sure you understand this, and Phil probably as well. But it's like when you paint a picture, or when you write a poem, or when you write a story, or when you do anything else that's creative, you can pour all your energies, including the negative stuff, into what you're creating, and it can turn very positive. And I've noticed, whether it's writing or whether it's painting or whether it's drawing or whether it's playing music or I've noticed that also something that really helps, that's not easy to do at all, but something that really helps is to take all the stuff that's inside, turn it outward and be like, okay, who can I help? You know, and just look outward and that's not easy to do when you're hurting inside. You want to turn inward. But the key, I think one of the keys to being successful in life is being able to take all the stuff inside, including the pain, and turning it outward and be like, okay, who else is hurting? And I mean, my most poignant moment in life happened when I turned outward in my moment of most bitter pain. And it saved my life, you know, literally saved my life for doing that. And, it happened in high school. And if I hadn't turned outward and seen other people that were in pain, I wouldn't probably be here today. And it's a scary thought, but it's a true thought. And so just focusing outward, and, you know, if you're talented at stuff like Jules, you can do art, you can do music and do writing or whatever you want to do, but you can share that right with other people. And you too, Phil, it's just, it can be a really positive, it can end up being a really positive thing.
Yeah, I think that was so beautifully put. And so true. I was not necessarily raised to be trusting of people or to be a kind person. And through my injury, I've learned, and my spiritual practice, of course, you know, kindness and compassion. And I honestly, if I meet you, I probably love you, like 99% of the people. And I think that's been one reason my meditation class has been successful, is because I just connect with every single person there. Mm-hmm. And I just think that they're so amazing in their own way. And I also volunteer at the meditation center, you know, 3 to 5 days a week, and at BIAC. And I never wake up and think, oh, I don't want to do this today, because I love it. I love the fact that I feel like I'm giving back. And I don't know. It's better than having a job, honestly, because a job you get up and you do, not always, but a lot of times, because you're looking for your paycheck and you mm-hmm. have to do it. But volunteering, you're doing just purely because you want to.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah, no, seriously. Well, it's like, Jules, this morning, Mondays are the roughest day at work because I work at a radio station, and so I'm up for the morning show. I got to be on air at 6 a.m., sounding bright and cheery and like I didn't just wake up 30 minutes ago. And so Mondays are always rough, but I saw on my calendar that we had our talk today, and so that just that brightened my day right away. It's like what you were saying, volunteering, doing the stuff with BIAC, and doing the stuff that I love, talking to other survivors and helping you share your stories. You know, it made that 5:15 a.m. alarm clock with pounding snow a lot more worth it.
Yeah, I love this podcast. I think I went through and I have 10 good friends that have done this.
All right.
And I learned something new about each of them.
That's which is so great. Cool.
Yeah. You think you really know people and then you're like, wow, I guess there's a lot left to learn.
Well, it's like, Jules, with you in photography, do you have an Instagram that you're putting these things on or a way that you're sharing them?
Yes. Instagram and Facebook.
How can we find it?
I believe that Instagram is Jules A. Bryant 1 and Facebook is Jules A. Bryant. And it's public, so.
All right, perfect. And Adam, one more time, let's plug your book, the one that you have published right now.
The two books that I published actually are Embattled We, A Poet's War. That's recently republished. And then the other one is Walking With My Angel. Both are on Amazon by Adam Scott Campbell. So,
all right, go check them out. And in the meantime, if we have any literary agents out there, hit up Adam. He's looking for you. He wants to get that book out there. No, great to catch up with both of you. So much fun to have you back on the podcast. And let's stay in touch, definitely. I love doing this idea of, you know, catching back up with guests I've had on to see, you know, kind of where life is for you. And it's always changing, and it's never a dull moment for any of us, right?
Right.
Very true.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks, Jules.
Yeah, it was great meeting you, Adam, and I'm excited to read your books, and I'll be thinking about you.
Thank you. You too.
Adam, Jules, great to have you on here on the BIAC Podcast, TBI Talking Brain Injury.
See ya.
Bye.